I'd like to greet you all in Jesus' name. It has been a real blessing to be here this morning already, and I trust that you've been enjoying it as well. Welcome to our visitors. It's good to see some visitors from other places again. They've been a little scarce recently, and a special blessing upon Hans and Beth as you continue to prepare for the wedding on Saturday. Danny and Katrina, God bless you as well. Danny's not here today? Okay. Well, we've been considering questions this morning, and I've got a few more for you on a little different subject. I've entitled the message, In Remembrance Of. Now, I'm not sure how many of you are aware. I think most of you maybe, but tomorrow is Memorial Day. I don't know if you know what Memorial Day is, why it's celebrated by the public, but Memorial Day is a public holiday in America where military personnel who died while serving in the U.S. Armed Forces are honored and mourned. This day honors the memory of those who have lost their lives in battle. These men and women did offer the ultimate sacrifice to a cause. Their example inspires others to be brave and loyal like them. Sometimes we are reluctant to honor the memories of those who have died. And I'm talking more about funerals in our midst. And we want to give God the highest place, and that's the way it should be. The Bible, however, does list men and women and their examples of faithful obedience that we should seek to follow. When men and women leave a legacy of obedience to God, we have a memory that we may honor and a life worth modeling. Now, to the questions. My text today is in Hebrews 11. And a few of the questions I'd like for you to consider as we go to our text in just a bit. How does your faith in God manifest itself? In other words, how does your faith in God show itself to others? How do other people know that you believe God? Is there a way of knowing in your life? Is it obvious to others that you believe God? As others observe your life and mine, will they know that what God thinks and wants is important to us? And then what price are you willing to pay for the defense of your cause, of your faith? And finally, is the life that you are living and the lifestyle you are pursuing an outworking of your faith in God? Now these are, I think Joe used the word legitimate. I think they're legitimate questions that we as Christians need to take a good, hard look at. The Bible does list men and women and their examples of faithful obedience. And in Hebrews 11, if you would turn there with me, please, I would like to read a good portion of that chapter. We find here a list of heroes of faith. Sometimes it's called the Hall of Faith. And as we read about the courageous example of these men and women, we're inspired by their example of faithfulness to what God called them to do. And yet, as we read those examples and read those stories and we find some of the details involved there, we wonder, would we have the faith to build an ark or to move to a place that we haven't seen? Or to offer our son, or to leave the luxuries of a palace. Is our life's testimony that we please God? We wonder about that. We see those examples, and we wonder: could we actually do those things? I was thinking as well of some, as we were talking about baptism this morning, and the price, the cost of that baptism carried with it for some folks, even physically. You know the stories from the Martyr's Mirror and some of our history books about folks who gave their life in the most cruel and gruesome manners because they believed in Jesus Christ and had received the believer's baptism. The baptism was a death knell for them. Once they were baptized, rebaptized, some of them, they were marked for death. And we wonder about those things. Could we really be faithful in difficult times like that? You could ask the question, why do we feel that way? Is it because we don't have faith in God like they did back in the Bible times? Or isn't faith as necessary as it used to be back then? Or is it perhaps that we don't always realize or see how faith looks and works out in our everyday lives? I believe we need faith, and I believe we have the faith, the same faith that our forefathers and those who have given their lives for Christ, the same faith that they have. We have not been called to give our lives for that faith, but I believe that if faith in God is in our hearts, and we have a desire to do what God wants us to do, desire to know the truth and to live the truth, that same strength will be available to us in those times when difficult choices and sacrifices need to be made. So let's take a look at the lives of some of the people spoken about here in Hebrews 11. Let's read Hebrews 11. And if you would, you could stand. I know you've been sitting quite a bit. Why don't we stand for the reading of the word this morning? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through verse 32. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. And you may be seated. Well, that is an inspiring portion of Scripture. And this morning, I am just so grateful for the examples, the testimonies of men and women of God, not only in this chapter, but all around us. Folks who have gone on before us. Folks who aren't with us anymore. Folks that we've read about in the history books. Their faithfulness to God in the time that they were serving God in their generation. And I thought about these men and women. These men and women had the testimony that they believed God. We talked about this morning in the Sunday school class as well. What does believing God mean? What does it mean to have faith in God? Well, these men and women had a faith in God. They believed God. And that faith motivated their lives. It gave their lives purpose. It gave their lives power. And they did what they did. They did the feats, the exploits, the challenges, the tough times that they went through. They went through with a testimony, came through with a testimony for God that came because of what God had done in their lives. And there's two key verses I'd like to share with you from the book of John that I think I believe are very, very important for us to remember as well. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then in John 8:32, back a few chapters, he makes a statement, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So Jesus says, I am the truth. He also says, when you know the truth will set you free. And that is very, very true. And I think that's part of the new birth experience that we've been talking about this morning. It enters in these verses we can make application to. We come to the Lord Jesus confessing, realizing that we are sinners, that we've got a need, we've got a problem. And it's only Jesus who can make the difference, who can solve that problem. And when we know Jesus, he enters our hearts, he fills us with himself, with his Holy Spirit, he gives us a new heart, he cleanses our lives, We know the truth, and the truth makes us free. Now, not only does it make us free from sin, certainly the blood of Jesus washes us from our sins, but I think there's an added meaning there sometimes that we miss. That truth will also make us different. We're not the same person we used to be. And because we're a different person, we have different desires, we've got a different master, it's going to affect the way we live. And that's exactly what happened to these Hebrew 11 characters of faith. God did a work in their lives. It cleansed them, it set them free, it made them different people, and people noticed that. We notice them, we watch them, their example even today yet. I believe there are spiritual applications that we can make to the examples of these men and women of God. By faith. I'd like for you to think a little bit this morning. If God were writing the record today, what would he say about me and about you? There's a record being written. What causes us to do the things that we do? Why do we live the way that we live? And I think it's important for us to just try to think about this in this way, because, you know, this morning Joe was teaching Sunday school class. And he did a fine job of it. By faith, Joe Lapp taught Sunday school class in May of 2020. And you could do a lot of that kind of names, etc. Maybe I'll do a little more of that later. But think about it. What is your life? Does your life show that you have faith in God? The way you're living your life, the way you're doing your things, the words you speak and the contacts you make and the example you leave, does your faith in God manifest itself? Does it show itself to others? You know, someone mentioned this morning that it's easy to say that you believe, and belief in God is enough if our definition of belief is correct. And I believe believing just means that you order your lives after God. You believe God. You believe what he says, and so you're doing what he wants you to do, what he wants us to do. So let's look at a few of these examples that were given here in Hebrews 11. It talks about Abel and how he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You have to ask the question, didn't Cain know what an excellent sacrifice was? Didn't Cain know what he'd expected to sacrifice? Didn't he have an idea of what God expected him to do? Well, you can't help but believe that he knew. It seems almost like he had to know. But we know what happened. Cain went ahead and offered his unacceptable sacrifice, and with a heart, I suppose, filled with bitterness toward his brother, when he saw him offering an acceptable sacrifice, he just went and killed him. Now, what kind of spiritual lesson can we learn from that? I mean, one of the things we can learn is that there are acceptable and unacceptable ways to approach God. I believe that not every form of worship will meet his approval. And I believe that worshiping biblically, especially when many don't, requires faith. Do you think that Abel faced any kind of pressure to do things the right, to keep doing things the right way, or to not do things the right way when he saw Cain offering his older brother offering a sacrifice the wrong way? Noah built an ark. Noah's an amazing man. Was he perfect? No. But he was a man of God. And he wanted to do the Lord's will. And God told him to build an ark to the saving of his house. Noah had never seen rain, never seen a flood. But he believed God and went about and built a huge boat. What kind of applications do we make to us today? Noah was a father, he was a husband. He lived in a land where evil was probably, it seems hard to believe or imagine, but evil was probably more rampant than it was even today. We think we live in an evil world. Noah was living in a world that was terrible. There was only about him and his family who believed in God anymore. They were the only ones living for the Lord. The whole rest of the world had turned their backs on God. Didn't care what God thought at all. Noah actually did a very radical thing when God's commandment came to him, and he told him to build an ark for the saving of his family, his house. That's pretty radical. And I believe that we as fathers need to take the example of Noah and be willing to build an ark for the saving of our families and do those things that are necessary so that they continue to have a desire to do what's right. We must follow God's pattern for the ark. I had to think about Abraham, and Abraham was a man of God who left a tremendous example of being willing to do what God wanted him to do in a few different ways. It's so tough to imagine moving to a place that you haven't seen. Now, Beth, I suppose you've seen Kansas, so that's not quite your situation here, but this is a situation where God told Abraham to move to a land I'll tell you about later. And Abraham said, I'll do it. He went and did it. He believed God. He didn't just say he believed God and stayed sitting. His belief in God drove him to do what God asked him to do. And that is the difference in true belief or unbelief. And I think that's where it gets us sometimes. You know, sometimes we say we believe God and we know what he wants us to do. It's pretty clear. And yet are we willing to get out of our seats and just do it? This was Abraham's situation. There was also another one a little later where he offered up Isaac, his only son. I thought about it that Abraham offered him to God. He gave his son back to the one who made him. And we can learn a lesson there as well, I believe. We need to offer our children to God. By faith, we allow God to plan their lives, where they'll live, what occupations they'll have. I think it's important for us as parents to not convey the sense that our ideas for their lives are what needs to happen. We need to be willing to give them to God for whatever he wants them to do and for wherever he may lead them, so that he can work his purposes through and in them. Abraham also leaves as an example here. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived as strangers. They lived in tents. The Bible mentions that Abraham was looking for a city with foundations. Now, we're pretty comfortable with our foundations, so I wonder sometimes how well we're doing with this one. We, as Abraham, are to be looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, a city with foundations. Sometimes we can get accustomed to and enjoy the security of earthly empires and cities that we build, but God is requiring us to live as strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through, so let's not become too attached to our things. Actually, they're God's things. Let's use them that way. I was inspired with Moses' parents. You know, right now, we're struggling a bit with this COVID-19 thing. I don't know how many of you have to wear masks to go to work. But up at the place we're working, we're required to wear them at this point. And I'm not exactly sure where the state is in all this. It seems like it's kind of changing. And, of course, it makes it more difficult because some counties are saying you don't have to. And then we have the president chiming in with some of the same kind of refrains. And after a while, you're not quite sure who you should be listening to. But up in our market, we're having a bit of a struggle there because there are some who think we should wear masks and some who think it's high time just to quit wearing them. And we'd like to try to keep a united face to the whole thing, at least from as far as the market ends. So if you need something extra to pray about, maybe you can help us pray for us so we can stay unified in some of those areas. It's amazing how differently people come out on things and how it can make some tensions pretty quickly. So we're facing some of those things, the King's Commandments. Well, Moses' parents faced a decree from the king that they were supposed to kill their son. And they had the courage, the faith in God, to disobey that. Now, I believe that we need to obey the king as long as he doesn't ask us to do something that is contrary to God's word. But here was something that was contrary to God's word, and they had the faith, the belief in God. They decided they're not going to. Now, I hope, although this could change, I really hope that we don't ever get to the place where our government's going to decree the size of our families. I wouldn't guarantee that. That will always be the way it is now. But I believe that having children today is an act of faith. There's a lot of questions we can ask. In fact, I heard someone recently make the comment that with global warming going the way it is and some of the problems that the Earth is facing, they wouldn't feel safe having children. They'd feel sorry for them. Well, that's really unfortunate. That's a wrong mindset. And it just kind of bears it out that if you start believing theories, you soon get totally off track with even the truth. But even as parents, I believe bringing children into the world is an act of faith today. We do have our concerns, and sometimes we wonder. We parents kind of feel sorry for our children sometimes and what they might have to face in life. I suppose our parents probably felt the same way about us. I'm not sure. But I believe it's important that we continue to put our faith in God. I believe that is the answer to our situation and to our children's in the future. Just continue to believe God. There's a lot of questions, a lot of negative things we could focus on, a lot of negative questions we could ask. Is God making a mistake by asking families to be fruitful? I don't believe so. By faith, we have children. We don't fear the evil of the world because we know that obedience to God has its rewards. You just can't get away from that. God will make himself, show himself strong on our behalf. We know that if we obey God, he will do that for us. That was Moses' parents. And I believe that faith filtered down to Moses, even though he saw that example, even though he wasn't with his family the whole his young life, not the whole time at least. But Moses has some decisions to make too. And Moses chose the lot of God's people when he had Egypt and its riches and pleasures at his fingertips. He knew somehow that the rewards of righteousness outweighed all those other things that he could have chosen had he turned his back on his people. I believe he shared the same vision that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had about seeking for a city with foundations. He realized that the things here are fleeting and will someday disappear, burn up. And so the challenge the encouragement, the inspiration we can receive from the life of Noah, of Moses here is the encouragement to be willing to unattach, to detach ourselves from all those things that have so much glitter and appeal, from all that sensual pleasure that is so fleeting, and to cast our lot like Moses did with the people of God. It's a choice we need to make. It's impossible to have it both ways. We just can't have both. We must choose by faith to follow God and God's people, even when it looks uncomfortable. I was thinking about, well, in verse 32, I believe it is, the Hebrew writer mentions the prophets, and I was thinking about Daniel a bit as well, and the tremendous legacy, example that he left for us there in Babylon, as the king commanded him to eat of his meat and drink his wine, and he and his friends just stood up and said, we won't do that. We're going to obey God. We have faith in God. We believe God. And that means that we can't do what he doesn't want us to do. That is true belief, faith in God. I'd like to emphasize that this morning. It's easy to say things, but what I live is proof of what I believe. Later, he was thrown into the lion's den for simply praying. And I just like to encourage you. Sometimes we wonder, could we actually be faithful and be thrown into the lion's den? Could we actually live in that kind of situation, come out the way Daniel did, or these others as well? I believe that we can, and I believe that faithfulness. This is last Sunday, Brother Brandon mentioned that God is in the details, and I believe that our faith is in the details as well. Faith to do what is your responsibility to do today. It doesn't have to be anything big, like being thrown into the lion's den, but it needs to be in the details, in the lives that we live, in the things that people see. It's the proof that our faith in God is real. And as Hebrews says, continues there in the last verse there, what shall I more say? We've just listed a few of the list of heroes of faith, and we could list multitudes more. And as I was thinking about that this morning, I thought about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, his faithfulness, and the fact that his faithfulness makes it possible for us to be faithful today. But then my mind randomly went other ways. And I thought about Felix Mons and how he was drowned for his faith. And I thought about the many examples. I mentioned the Martyrs of Mirror earlier. Men and women, young and old, who gave their lives for their faith, made the ultimate sacrifice, just gave their lives. And it's almost hard for us to imagine this, but gave them joyfully, went singing to the stake. Can you imagine that? I thought about men like Menno Simons, who we owe a great deal to. Then I thought about some other people as well. I thought about a preacher by the name of Aidan Troyer, who I appreciated his message very much when I was young and later as well, but he made an impact on my life. I thought about some of the folks who were in church with us even recently and are not here with us anymore. By faith, they live their lives and are with the Lord. I just thought about some of the more recent ones, like Brother Jesse and Sister Susie King, of Brother Chris Zook, Sister Rebecca Smoker, Sister Lena Lapp, Brother Eugene Eicher, He's affected us. Their memories are with us. And there are many more I could add to that. Then I thought about, too, you know, I mentioned Joe taught Sunday school this morning, but as I look across this group of people, I know that many of you are serving the Lord. Many of you believe God. And many of you, your lives show. I've seen them. You really care about what God wants you to do. And that faith in God, that belief in God, manifests itself that way. And I think we just need to make it practical. You know, it was by faith that Martha and Kelsey and Rebecca were in Indonesia, Thailand. That faith in God is what took them there. They didn't do it just for a fling, just for the fun of it. Well, that may have been part of it, I don't know, but their faith in God took them there. We have Alberts and Carls on the field. By faith, they went. It wasn't free. It cost them something. It really did. And I believe a true faith in God will cost us something. By faith, Tim and Michelle just had a baby. Well, they've got a challenge ahead of them. They've got some work cut out. It's a tremendous blessing. But it took faith. And I believe they sense the responsibility and are going to give it their best shot in bringing that child up for the Lord. I had to think of all our school teachers. We've got quite a list of them. Kind of named them all. But it's by faith, I believe, that they do that year after year, time and again. It's a work, it's a calling. God has called them to it. They're doing it by faith. Well, I've got a bunch of the rest of us who aren't involved in that kind of noble work. Some of us just cut meat and cheese and build barns and roof houses and that kind of thing. But by faith, we do those things to support our families and to support those who are out there doing some of the things that we can't be out there doing. But I appreciate, I think it's Brother Emmanuel's response this morning. You know, by faith, even as we're doing those mundane things, cooking meals and changing babies' diapers and washing clothes and mowing lawns and all those things that everybody does and don't seem real important, I believe that it is a faith in God that keeps us doing those things with excellence, keeps us doing those things with the best we can, the best we know how. There's nobility in work. And don't ever be ashamed to work. I think that's one of the problems in our country today. People don't like work, don't like working. Rather get it for nothing. Rather live off someone else. By faith, we live and move and have our being. What shall I say more? We have examples beyond measure. Thank you for those examples that you are leaving, you are making We appreciate that very much. And God's blessing will rest upon it. We have so many blessings. We have decades of faithful men and women in our heritage. But you know, admiring a soldier, as so many earthly soldiers are being admired today, admiring a soldier doesn't make you a soldier. And admiring faithful obedience doesn't make one faithfully obedient. And admiring faith in examples from the old and from our even from our midst here doesn't make one faithful. We have these examples. And may God help us. I'd like to remind us of the verses I shared with there close to the beginning. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the truth. And when we get to know the truth will make us free. It will make us different. And people will see. God bless you as you continue to make that difference in your little corner of the world today. And as we go on through life. Let's stand for a word of prayer.